Dabrei Moish Kidoishim. By Dabra Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, Achrei Moish Nebnei Aaron, Yikorvosim Lufnei Hashem Vayumbush. Hashem spoke to Moshe after the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, were Nifter, when they came before Hashem and they died. First, I'm asking a question. In this pasuk, it says Hashem spoke to Moshe, but it does not say what he told them. And you can't say that he told them over here to speak to Aaron and to tell him when he can come into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's already the second part. It says again, that was a new instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was this first Dibur? It doesn't tell us exactly what it was. Secondly, why does it say the second time? We already know it's Achrei Moshe Nevin Aharon. We know that they were Nifter. So why does it repeat again? Bikorvosim Lufnei Hashem Vayamusim. I saw brought down the same Dechsam Sefer that in the first pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe the reason why they were Nifter. Bikorvosim Lufnei Hashem Vayamusim. So because they came close before Hashem, that was the Goyim. In other words, we know that they died. But now it repeated it again. They came too close to Hashem, and that was the reason why they were nifters. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron, the reason why they were nifters is because they came too close before Hashem. But it doesn't say in this pasuk over here, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimor, or to tell Aaron. He didn't want to give Aaron more tzar. Aaron was already in a matzav of tzar. He told Moshe the reason. But he did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the reason to Aaron. But you have to understand, what's Taka the Pshat in Birkorvosim of Hashem? Because they came close before Hashem by Yamusu. Well, what does that mean exactly? Now, Chazal brought down numerous reasons why Nadav and Avihu were punished. One reason is they were Meira Halachim of Meiraba. They brought fire min HaHedit. They brought regular fire on the Mizbeach, instead of waiting for the fire to come down min HaShemayim. And they had a good basis for it. But they did it without asking Moshe Rabbeinu. There's another mandoma that says that they came into the Beis HaMikdash Shtuye Yayim. They were under the influence of wine. There's another mandoma in the Medrash that says they never got married. There's another mandoma in the Medrash that says that they said, Mosvei Yamusu Oysen Zekeinim, when are the Zekeinim going to be Nifter, and we will take over. So, you have to understand what exactly is going on here. What is the common denominator in all of these? The Tzan HaShav in all of these is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Aliyah and Kedusha mitzad b'nei Yodam. He wants them to grow. He wants them to reach high madreges. But it's got to be within parameters that are set by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's outside of the parameters that are set by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then take this. Hashem gives a certain guideline. There's a word from the Kotzke. Kotzke says, "Va'anshe kodesh tiyun li." I want you to be holy people. Zok the Kotzke. I want you to be holy, but I want you to be anoshim first. I want you to be people. Malachim have plenty up there in Shemayim. I want people down here, holy people, but people nonetheless. It has to be within the gvul of regular people, and people have to be noyig the way the Torah commands it, and be tight those guidelines, be tight those boundaries. Through that, they have to become kodesh. The first nekuda is they wanted to, in their haste and in their zrizas, to mamish become kodesh, to do something beside themselves, they overlooked the fact that there's a seder hadvarim, there's a chain of command. You don't do things on your own. The chain of command is you first have to ask your Rebbe, you first have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, and you have to lower yourself to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they went and did something on their own that was breaking one of the boundaries. But second Nukuda, again, the Aliyah has to be mitzayit the tzivuyim of Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to have a family, you have to raise children, there's no question in the world that they didn't get married l'shem shamayim. They felt if they have to raise a family, it's going to be a burden on them. They're not going to be able to be oyla to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and come so close to him. That's not a chesed. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Truravu Miluzaharas, you're supposed to have a family, you're supposed to have children. Despite the fact that you wanted that aliyah and you're scared that this is going to be a hindrance to you, you have to do your aliyah within the parameters of the Torah. They went into the Beis Hamikdash to Yayin. Why'd they do that? They figured, you know, Yayin is Samar Lavavenosh, wine makes you Vesimcha, they're going to reach more of a Madrega of Dveikus. If there's Stuya Yayin, I thought PK, it's a Gevaldik Chesmen. But it's a Chesmen against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that's that they wanted to be the Manhigim. Now, they didn't openly want Moshe and Aaron Chasashom to be Nifter. But deep down inside, they felt, you know, we'd like to be at the top, we'd like to be at the helm. They didn't have patience. And that really was the cause of everything. They wanted to be greater people, but that greatness was not. They weren't willing to do it because the parameters. And Shabbos, he said, that's why they were punished. And that's also why the Gemara says their punishment was their guf remained complete and the neshama was burnt mitaych the guf. The guf is the thing that limits the person. It limits the neshama. They didn't want any boundaries. So the neshama v'dafka was the thing that was destroyed or taken from them. And the guf, which is the boundaries, that limit the neshama, that remains standing. That thing which they discarded, the boundaries, that remained by them. I get it from this is that we all have to strive for Kedusha. We all have to strive for greatness. But it has to be greatness that's acquired. We take the boundaries that are given to us by the Torah, by the Chachamim, by our Rabbeim, and nobody should overstep those bounds. Tzaynes bat kodesh yilbush. Should wear a tzaynes of linen. We're talking about the Avodah on Yom Kippur. This is what the Kohen Gadol wears. V'avnei bat yachgar, u'mitznevis bat yitzlay. Digdei kodeshem v'rochat mamayim es v'soroi v'lovesh. Rashi says over here that this teaches us that when he goes inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't go with the Shemayna Begodim that he uses outside in the Azara. Here he goes in only in white begodim. Why? Because the Shemayna Bigdei Kohen Gadol had in it gold, and gold is a reminder of the Egel and Ein Kategor Nasus and Eger. If he's coming to be Mechaper for the Bnei Yisrael, he cannot be Ma'ir the Chait of the Egel. So therefore, when he goes inside, there he goes to the Bigdei Lavan. When he goes back outside, he goes to the Bigdei Zav. So the famous question which is asked is, if you're worried about Ein Kategor Nasus and Eger, we know that there's Avodah on the outside of the Azara that also represented Kapara. Why don't we say the Kral of Ein Kategor Nasus HaNeger over there? Say the same thing. If you don't want to be Ma'ir Kitrav on Yom Kippur, why does he wear the Bigdei Zav when he does the Avodah on the outside? There's a very nice shot here that's brought down in the Sefer Oznayim Latzeh. He says, of late, there have been do-gooders that whenever they hear that Rabbonim or Gedoyim, they give Teichachet, and they say that things are being not done properly, they start saying, who says you should say bad things about Klal Yisrael? Why? You always have to be Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. After all, the holy, holy Tzaddik, the Tzaddik Yisrael Olam, relating Yitzchak Bat Yitzchiver, you always spoke good about Klal Yisrael. He was always Malamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. So why do the Rabbanim of today, the Gedolim of today, why do they find it necessary to speak out against Klal Yisrael? And that was an attitude of people, and also they titled themselves in Hillel as opposed to Shammai. These Rabbanim are like Beis Shammai. Hillel would never do something like that. It was a Maaseh Shehoyah, but one of these do-gooders that he lived in a community with a Marda Ashra, got up and he blasted someone that ate trefus, he ate tarfus barabba. He wasn't embarrassed to walk into a trefus restaurant and eat tarfus. So this Rav, he got up and he made a machom or the chilul Hashem or whatever. So this do-gooder went over to the Rav, just what the Rav did, I'm not saying that the Rav is wrong, yes, but that person did. He's talking about rice, he tarfus, yes, it was a chilul Hashem. chayv on Klal Yisrael. He brought a raya. He brought a raya. He knew a little bit. Now, for some people, a little bit of knowledge could do a lot of damage. He says, you see, Yeshaya Hanavi, he was punished because he said to Hashem, B'seicham t'mei shomashayim anoichi yoishiv, because I'm sitting amongst the nation with unpure lips, he was punished because of that. Do you see the Beferis? That Yeshaya, because he said something against Klal Yisrael, he was punished. He said, you know, to speak out against this, it's not the right thing. Amar the Asra said, Lehefach, the Derech HaNachayna, and the proper thing is when you see an Aveiru, when you see an Avla, you have to give Teichocha. The Gemara says in Erech, this Machloik is, how far does Teichocha have to go? One Mandora says, Ad Kidei, the guy curses at you, wants to put you in Chayram. Another Mandora says, even if he starts hitting you, you still have to give Teichocha. And you find that the Nevi'im gave Teichocha, and previous Thursday gave Teichocha. That is the right way to do it. When they're standing in front of the people, so then they give Teichocha. But when they were standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah, why did they only have its chus? And why did they have to look for truth in to be mechaper for their aveiros? He says, the chet of Yeshaya HaNavi was, he was standing in front of Hashem when he said it. If he would have said it to the B'nai Yisrael, that's one thing. A Navi is mechuyev to be mechiyach his people. But over here he was talking to Hashem, and when you talk to Hashem, Adarabba, that's the time to be Malamed Schus. And that's when he said, I'm amongst the nation of unpure lips. That was the time. Says the mile of Rav Levi Yitzchak Radishev was not that he didn't give Teichacha. No question about it. If he saw an obligate Teichacha. But when he was talking to Hashem, he was always Malamed Schus. So Zokt, the Luska Rav, that's the Pshat over here. We asked the Kasha. And the Kohen girl goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh. We say in Kategon Asher Sanegi, he's not supposed to do anything that reminds Hashem of the Chet HaEgel. So why, when he went outside into the Azara, why did he wear the big day zohar? Why over there was there not a problem of in Kategon Asher Sanegi? Dr. Lutzkerov, when he went out, and there were Kahanim out there in the Azara, there were Yisraelim out there in the Azara, in front of the people, Adarab. He showed them the goal to be ma'ir of them. There's still a chayta ego. I would still have to do tshuva for it. In front of them, he has to be ma'ichiyach. But he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there he has to find all the zechuyas possible of the Klal Yisrael. That's where he went in with the Big Day Lovan, because that's where we say the Klal of En Kategra Nasas HaNegra. I must have mentioned here already before. Somebody once came to the Sapphire Rebbe. And he came with a taina. How come the Satma Rebbe always speaks against the Tzionim and Mamish, and he writes Kanois against the Tzionim, against the Zionists? He says, you see Avraham Avinu, he stuck up for Zion. He was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he fought so hard on behalf of Zion. And here the Rebbe talks against the Tzionim. The Satma Rebbe said, how do you know what I tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm talking to him personally? How do you know? Avraham Avinu, when he stuck up for Zion, he was speaking to Hashem personally. So then he stuck up for them. He was Malamed Schus. We have no idea what Avraham Avinu said in public. When he spoke to Hashem, he was Malamed Schus. He wanted to avoid them being destroyed. Satmar Rebbe said the same thing. How do you know what I tell HaKadosh Baruch when I speak to them privately? Rav Yitzchak Chaim Zonnenfeld once went out to make a machor against the modern Israeli schools that were putting on some program that was not with the Ruach. With Yiruach HaTorah, and he went out to make a machor, he went out with the Shabbos. And Toich HaDvorim, as Rabbi Yosef Chaim is passing these children from these not from his schools, the Shabbos overhears Rabbi Yosef Chaim davening for them and giving them brachas. He asks Rabbi Yosef Chaim, we're coming to make a machor against them, and the Rebbe's benching them. Rabbi Yosef Chaim says, what does one thing have to do with the other? To operate them, I have to make a machor. We have to teach them what they're doing is wrong. But in my heart, when I daven, of course I daven. The Yiddish kindler, I daven for their success. And that's the shot over here with Aaron HaKohen. He wore the white begadim when he was talking to Hashem. But when he was outside in front of the nation, then Ritaka had to give them Teichacha. V'noshen Aaron al shnei ha'seirim goroleis. And Aaron should put on the two goats that were both equal. They were equal in how old they were. They were equal in how much they cost. they were equal in height, they were equal in Mareyev. So you should put on them Goyrolis. Goyrol Echad LaHashem. The Goyrol Echad LaZosef. There's a number of questions that have to be answered over here. First of all, what exactly was the Sir LaZosef? What was the tachlis of putting it out there in the Midbar and pushing it off the cliff? What was that? Number two, why did the Bedavka have to be done Al Yidei Goyrolis? Why couldn't the Kohen just say, this I'm being Magdish LaHashem and this I'm being Magdish LaZosef? The Bedavka has to be done through a Goyrol. Number three, it says that the Kohen should place them Lufnei Hashem. And even after the Goyrol died, the Siracha he put in front of Hashem. Why the stress in front of Hashem? There's a mysterious Ibn Ezra over here. Ibn Ezra says, the Yecholot Elohavin HaTzoi Chu'achar Milus Azazel. If you understand the soy, the secret, that after the word of Azazel, then you know the secret and the secret of its name. And I will be megalo to you a little bit of the soy beremez, the yoyscha ben shloishim. The yoyscha ben shloishim is shloisha day the end. When you'll be 33, you'll know it. What does that mean when you'll be 33? So the Ramban over here says he doesn't think he's going to be someone that reveals somebody else's secrets, because the emes is Chazal already will megala what this is. It's mavura bigudra of a lazer. And when the Ibn Ezra says when you reach 33 you'll know it, it means 33 psukim after this pasuk over here. Benosan Aaron al shnei asirim goyrolis. 33 psukim after this. Is a key to revealing the secret. What does that mean? So Ramban says, this is the Seder Inyan. By the Goyim, they used to worship other gods. And the Torah says, you're not allowed to worship other gods. And that is the 33rd pasuk after this. It says over there, you're not allowed to bring korbanos to the other forces. The Torah asks that. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though it's usher to serve the forces of Avodah Zarah, even though it's usher, but in Yom Kippur HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should send a goat out to the Midbar. Why out in the Midbar? Because over there is a master, there's a kayak, there's a master that rules over there, and he rules over the wars and over people, dissension amongst people. He rules over the korbanos that happen in the world. He rules over all the bad things that happen in the world. And he has a shaykhus to Esav. And that's why they're called the Se'irim. They have a shaykhus to Arseyim. And he's in charge of the Mazikim and the Shadim and so on. That's why they're called Se'irim, because they have a shaykhus to Arseyim. So on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to sort of like appease the forces of evil that are out in the Midbar. And therefore, Hashem tells us, you're not allowed to bring korbanos to them. You're not allowed to serve those forces. But when Hashem tells us to do it, we're allowed to give a matana to them, sort of like shaychad, as some of the Sfarim call it. That was the Sir HaMishtaleah. It should be sort of like an offering for money. It shouldn't be a carbon to him, to those forces. You're not allowed to do that. Our kavana is we're being mekayim a mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to give this to him. Now, we don't have kavana to give it to him. We have kavana to be mekayim the Rosh and Abayit. Marshal Amad Aradayim. A fellow made a suited lekavod the melech. And he prepares mamrish mikol tuv. And the melech, he says, do me a favor. He takes a portion from the suda. And he says, do me a favor. I want you to give this to one of my avodim. So the one that made the suda to be mekayim, the covet of the melech, he gave a portion to one of his avodim. Not because he was being mechavet the yevet. He was doing this as a way of being mechavet the king. Same thing over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we should give a chelik to this, to the forces out there, to the Azazel. Those are the forces of Churban. It could be it's like bribery, whatever it is, bribery, or to appease them on Yom Kippur, but we're not doing it directly to them. We're doing it because Hashem told us to do it. He said, that's the reason for the Geirabais. If the Kohen would have been Magdish it directly, he would have said, I'm being Magdish this Lashem, I'm being Magdish this Lazazel. That means that the Kohen would be giving it directly to Azazel. And that you're not allowed to do. But what Yizbuchu Asihirim, you're not supposed to bring Kurbanis to the Sihirim who goes far in Kaiches. But if you do it, because Baruch Hu told you to do it, and the Geirabais is the Pshat, Hashem is choosing the portion to give to them. By Bazoi, you're not giving to them directly. And this is also the reason why, even after the Geirah, he was miming it in front of Hashem to show you, it's not me that's offering it to them, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's giving it, I am only a shliach to be Mekayim his rust. That's the secret of the Azazel. The Lokach, well, let's hold on to this, let's go a little bit right on to another Inyan. Another Inyan. It says, Ushmartem es chukai saives mishpatai. This is in Kapitel Yitzchaz Pasuk Hei. Ushmartem es chukai saives mishpatai asher yasa isam ha'odam v'chai lehem. That a person should do them and live by them. The Targum Unkel says, what does it mean v'chai lehem? V'chai lehem v'chaye alma. Do the mitzvahs, you will live in the world to come in Olam Haba. So that would imply that the Targum Unkel is learning shot in the Pasuk. The Chai Bohem is referring not to the Chayim down here, it's referring to the Chayim in Olam Haba. A guy named Tzadik or Shlomo Volde, he spoke in the lake, but he gave a shmooze once, and he said over a kasha, b'shem the Ozer of a Rebbe, Zeh, Tzadik, the Kodesh Lebrach. He says, it's there's a favorite Gemara against the Targum Unkel. Why? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns out of this pasuk over here, the Chai Bohem V'loi Shiyomis Bohem, which means Hashem wants us to live by the mitzvahs, and Hashem does not want, let's say it's a Shaila Pikuach Nefesh does a Kalatai Rekula, the Chai Bohem V'loi Shiyomis Bohem. He doesn't want you to die, he wants you to continue living on this world. The Mashmur from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that B'chai B'hem means living on this world. Yet the Targum Onkelos says B'chai B'hem B'chai Yalma. L'chayr the Targum Onkelos is in contradiction to this Rosh of Chazal. The Azhar Rav Rebbe says Chas V'chalil, it's not a steer. You're assuming that Chai Yoylam Hazeh and Chai Yoylam Habo are two direct opposites. No. Chas V'sholom. For the Oivid Hashem, there's no steer between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's one and the same. Olam Hazeh is the base where we prepare ourselves for Olam Haba. The mitzvahs we keep down here, that is the energy that's used in Olam Haba. It's one and the same. Haskein Atzmecha b'proizdor kidei shetikonis l'traklin. This is the gateway to enter Olam Haba. It's not tied to the Shastri. Adarabba v'adarabba. Olam Hazeh is gufa, the energy. By being mekayim the mitzvahs over here and living a life that we're supposed to live, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, that is the energy that's created for Olam Haba. It's not a tie to disaster. It's one and the same. The Chai Bohem for Olam Hazeh, yes. Why? Why are we so interested? Because it's a gateway to Olam Haba. It's one and the same. It says in Pirkei Avos, Yofer Shoachas B'tshuva U'mayishim Toivim B'Olam Hazeh, Mikol Chaye Olam Haba. One moment of tshuva U'mayishim Toivim in this world is greater than all of Olam Haba. And on the submission of Pirkei Avos, Kapitel Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin. And yet, that same Mishnah says, Yofer Shoachas Shokayrus Ruach Olam Haba. One cent. A moment of a smell of Olam Haba is greater than all of Olam Hazeh. How do you balance these two Maimorei Chazal? A moment of Tshuvah Ma'isim Tovim is greater than all of Olam Haba. A moment of a smell of Olam Haba is greater than all of Olam Hazeh. How do you make both Maimorim? I saw one of the Svarim that he compares this to concentrated iron shoes. Or in the olden days, they concentrated wine. They had a very thick concentrate of wine. talking water. They watered down the wine, and then it produced a gewaltige taste. So, on the one hand, it looks like the water that you're putting in is more than the concentrate. The water is greater. Over the emesis is pumple hefach. What gives the water the taste? And what stops the chefts of the wine? That's the concentrate. So this sefer says, that's the pshat with Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. The mitzvahs that we do in Olam Hazeh is the concentrate that produces the beautiful flavor of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the scent of Olam Haba is greater than Chol Chai Olam Hazeh. If you want to know the taste, how it tastes, no question about it. The scent of Olam Haba is greater than all of the pleasures of Olam Hazeh combined. But if you're talking about chashivas, if you're talking about what's the goyim of that taste, if you're talking about what is the energy that produces that wonderful hana of Olam Haba, that's the Torah and the Maitim Tovim of Olam Hazeh. Now, Yotzim Yidvareinu, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, they work hand in hand. If you don't have Olam Hazeh and you don't have the Torah and Mitzvahs and Maitim Tovim of Olam Hazeh, then you can't have that pleasure in Olam Haba. Somebody once told the Chofetz Chaim, Olam Hazeh is Oichet Aninyan. Olam Hazeh also something. You shouldn't be Mavatal Olam Hazeh completely. Yep, it's Oichet Aninyan. The Chofetz Chaim answered, because haste Oichet Aninyan, what does it mean? It's also something? That is the Iker. Can you imagine the Chofetz Chaim, who lived in poverty, who mamish lived in such, you know, austere conditions, and the Prophet Chaim says, no, I'd rather. What does he mean by that? Because it's here in Olam Hazeh that we have all the opportunities to do all the mitzvahs, which is Geirim Olam Haba. Without Olam Hazeh, you don't have Olam Haba. I'd rather Olam Hazeh is an Iker. And that's the same thing over here. The fact that the Unkul says it deals with Olam Haba and Chazal Darshan is Olam Hazeh, it's not a steer at all. For the Oyvim Hashem, Oyvim Hazeh is the energy that provides us with the Oyvim Abba. I want to finish off the beautiful pshat that I saw. You should give Musar. You should reproach your fellow. The Gemara of Mitzvah Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph says, what's the double wash? Toicheach toicheach. Toicheach toicheach afilu meyo pa'amen. Even 100 times. The simple shot is, you have to keep on saying it and repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And if the fellow doesn't listen, you repeat it even more. And don't get discouraged. But the Simcha Zisel of Kelm, the stout from Kelm, he said a different shot. He said, if a fellow needs reproach, don't pour out all your mussar all in one shot. It's not going to help. Because, you know, it's an overload of information. And sometimes the fellow will find it overwhelming, and he'll just turn off. Aicheach toicheach means do it in a way where you do a little bit at a time. You do a little bit of musar now. Plant an idea in his head. That's all. Don't overwhelm him. And then you'll plant some more a different time. Break up your musar so that you don't overwhelm him all in one shot. And afilu meyo pa'amen. Even if it takes 100 different times, a little bit musar here, a little bit musar there. Have the patience. Don't be impatient. I don't see any results. No. A little bit here, a little bit here. Break up your musar. Afilu meyo pa'amen, even if it's in 100 little pieces. And have patience. Don't say, oh, I don't see any results. Have patience. Rav Avigdor Miller, I read in his biography. And go. I grew up in Rav Avigdor Miller's neighborhood. And he literally turned a kehilla of modern American Jews, he turned them into Bnei Torah. They gave up their televisions, and they were more Zohar and Sneos. How did he plant these ideas? He didn't give Musar Shmuz and Mamish all in one shot. He had them over a period of time. He planted a little idea in the head over here. Then a different time, he spoke about it a little bit more. And then a third time he spoke about it a little bit more. Slowly but surely, they started changing until the imamish did a total 180. That's the way to give musas up for Simchas Yisrael. Don't overwhelm with the musar. Little by little. Heichaya, heichaya. Reproach, but not everything in one shot. Split it into pieces. Ilu Meir Pa'amim, even if it takes 100 times, have patience, and eventually those words are going to sink in. Good and Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos.